Is he still risen? Okay, good. Good, I'm in. We're in. Hey, good morning. Happy Easter. Everybody's jazzed up, including me. I'm kind of jazzed up. So we're just going to kind of celebrate. That's what the morning is. To celebrate something that is really good. And I was lost as a growing up as a child, but I still remember some things about the sometimes that I happened to go to a church, and sometimes I happened to be at church on Easter, and I remember joy. I remember joy being associated with Easter. I remember people being fired up for something that I didn't understand. But I knew that much. And it is on an Easter morning that I think about, I wish I were eloquent. Because I wish that with words, we could rise up into the Father's joy and just live there. How in the world am I going to do that? And yet, I just think of Easter and the truths of Easter as you just kind of breathe in glory and you breathe out hallelujah. It is just amazing. And so I want to just, for a few minutes, talk about things that are amazing. And then I want to pray together. And then we'll have a second part of a message. We're going to break it up so that we can pray. But one of the reasons we breathe in glory and we breathe out hallelujah is because death is defeated. Here we go. Jesus is saying, I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. And I love that. Because I have the keys to my car. And I have the keys to my car because I own it. It's mine. Jesus has the keys to death and Hades because he owns it. And so when really horrible accidents happen, or the cancer screening comes back, what a comfort. What a joy. Jesus has the keys to death and Hades. I like 1 Corinthians where it says, just that bottom part. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? I kind of view it like death is like a person, and the person is coming at you. Except, oh, look, death is coming at me, but you don't have a weapon. No sword, no club. You don't even have a sting. You have been disarmed. Hey, death, you don't have any arms. And the victory is ours. And everything gets turned upside down. Why, Paul said death was gain, death was better. Death was bad, and all of a sudden now, death is better. Death is victory. Death is good, and Jesus turns it all upside down and just swallows death. This is this verse. Jesus said to her, "Miss Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die."
Do you believe this?
So it is clear death no longer has the upper hand. It is done. So if death doesn't have the upper hand, what has the upper hand now? And the answer is life. Life has the upper hand. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. New life. Or this verse. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Or 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Life that comes from Jesus comes as resurrection, and there's going to be a resurrection that comes, and new life is going to come then. But new life comes now. What is the power that we get in life now? What does that power do that we get? What is it doing? It is granting life. It is giving life. Jesus is the key to a blessed life. Jesus said the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you have life. And then he just so we'd really get it, what he's saying when he means life, he says, and have it to the full. Or some translations say, or have it abundantly. You can just keep deciding. Well, you could say, life upon life. That's why Jesus come, to give you life abundantly, full, overflowing, new life. New creation. Now, sometimes we hear this and we think, I don't know if I'm experiencing abundant life. And God could be doing a lot of things, but one of the things that's good to remember is where life is. And what I mean by that is, we have the opportunity to connect with the divine, to connect with Jesus divine, and life is in Jesus. So as I have faith, I can connect with the divine, and that's where life is. As I pray, I get to connect to life and connect to the divine. As I walk with him through life and do things that he would have me do and be where he would be, I get to experience life in places I used to experience death. Jesus has come so that you can have life now in relationship with him. And just think about, in this dreadful place. I'm going to move this up. In this dreadful place, with this dreadful news, and in this dreadful body, and in this twisted world, and in all the stuff that's going on, isn't that just joyous? It's joyous. God has given us life. Thirdly, we breathe in glory and breathe out hallelujah because of the resurrection. Ever heard this song? Some
glad morning when this life is o'er. I'll fly away to a land on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'm going to stop you there. I'll fly away. Here we go. Here's a verse. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. I'll fly away. Right there. And so all that stuff about who precedes who and all it's saying is nobody gets to go up to Jesus in the air first. Not the people who are living, not the people who are dead. The dead will rise, and then we will be there, and then we together will go up and be with Jesus together in the air. That's the message. We fly away together to be with Jesus in the air. Now, picture it. What's Jesus wearing? White robes? You see white robes? Can you see the scars on his hands? What are you wearing? White robes? Yeah, we're wearing white robes. Now look around. Who do you see that you haven't seen in a long while? And then look at Jesus. He's really happy. He is really jazzed. He rose in the resurrection, and he is called the first fruits. And all that means is when you're in harvest time, when the first fruits of the harvest comes, that means the rest of the harvest is going to come. So he rose, and he was resurrected first, and we are going to rise because he did. All that the Father gives me, Jesus is talking, will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I like this. Because the Father gives Jesus a gift. Fathers give gifts to their kids. I gave gifts to my kids this morning. The Father gives Jesus an Easter gift. And the gift is people. The gift is the elect. The gift is you. And Jesus loves you. And that's why the Father can say, I'm going to give Jesus that gift. Because Jesus is going to love this gift. And then he goes on. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. And then this verse, John 17, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Jesus gives eternal life to those who come to him. Jesus keeps in his hand and protects all those who come to him. And when he does, that brings glory to the Father.
Brings him glory.
So we meet Jesus in the air. And then I think we go to the Father. And Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me on earth, I will acknowledge before my Father. And so I think there's a point where we are somehow before the Father and Jesus acknowledges us. And I think about it and I go, yes, I will be acknowledged before God. And then I think, no, I'm acknowledged before the Father. And I think those things are true. But you know what else is true? You are acknowledged before your Father. That's also true. Okay. When you are in the air with Jesus, put yourself there a minute. What do you think you will feel? And I would like audience participation. Weightless. Good. Good. I didn't expect that one, but. Ecstatic. Freedom. Awe. Okay, good. Peace. Awe. I missed it. A breeze, okay. Yeah, it's going to be like beautiful, like Nick and Kat's backyard on Friday. Yeah, that it's a mystery, I think, how some of that will walk through. I like home. Home. Yeah, there. You know. Sometimes you walk through an experience, and well, that was a round peg in a round hole. Yeah. And our love for him. It's true. It's true. He's coming back for his bride. Bridegrooms and brides tend to look each other in the eye. Love tends to go back and forth. We'll feel all the fruits of the Spirit. The Bible answers from the youth. Wonder. Yeah. That's a good word. Wonder. Home. Awe. Okay, let me change the picture. Now, we were going to go be with the Lord forever. That's what 1 Thessalonians told us. So, I don't think we hang out in the air forever, although I don't picture it being uncomfortable. And we will go
And let's say we're with the Father. And whatever the setting looks like, you're before the Father. How do you think you'll feel before the Father? Is it different? Is it the same? Small. Yeah. Unworthy. A sense of peace. Say that again. Yeah, what you're saying is you'll be examined almost in the judgment, or that somehow that the Father will be able to kind of like see through you. Naked. Again, I'm sorry. Reverent. Yeah. This is what I want to do. I want to give us an opportunity to respond to God on Easter. And to respond to God in prayer on Easter. And I want to take all those things you just said, wonder and awe and home and amazement and reverence and nakedness and all those things, and in the spirit of those things, that we would together worship God in prayer. Well, I'd just like to do that for a few moments together. That you could bring something. And I know you're bringing your faith. And I know I get to bring a message. But I think Jesus would be really pleased if he heard our hearts. Our words come out. Led words in song, great. But just the words of our heart on Easter. So, let's do that together for a few minutes. Would anyone like to start us? Benzaki, make it happen, brother. Amen. Amen. All right, we need to keep moving. This is good. That's good. I want to go through just briefly here how I, when I think about honoring Jesus in his resurrection, what I think about. Because how do we respond? What do we do? How do we think when we try to take in all these great truths of Easter? And the answer is, we believe. And I'll walk through a few things that we believe. First thing is, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified and forgiven, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So first thing we believe is we're forgiven and free. And that would honor him today if there were people that looked on him, looked on the risen Christ, and believed, they were saved, forgiven, clean, pure, blameless, that we're His. The cross discharged all the debt of our sin. And we know that as we walk through life, the law tries to curse us. And your conscience is going to tell us that we did wrong and we don't deserve good and we need to make up for it in this way or in that way. But all the demands of sin have already been met in Jesus, and you had an enormous debt. But Jesus, your friend, paid it, and you hold the receipt. And the receipt says, clean, forgiven, pure, headed to heaven. I like in Romans 8 when it says, who shall lay any charge against God's elect? Right? What's he saying? Who's going to say you did wrong or that you need to do something or that you don't deserve something or that good shouldn't come to you? Who's going to say that to you? Who's going to say you need to be punished? God the Father who gave us Jesus? No. Jesus who gave his life? No. Well, then who can do that? Nobody can. But I'll tell you who tries. Me. Isn't it us? We look at all God's done and we say, well, but I don't deserve and I need to make up and I'm not so sure and I don't really feel really clean. But you are forgiven and free. And if we want to honor Jesus and all that he died to accomplish, one of the ways we honor Jesus is live free. Believe we're free. And of course, you're going to be free when you get to heaven. But we get to taste it now. We get to walk in the power of that now. And wouldn't that be a power in your life? It would be. We can taste that power. And wouldn't, I just think about it, Jesus would be so happy. He suffered so much to give you freedom. Galatians, he says, it is for freedom that Christ set you free. What's Easter for? Easter's for your freedom. You can live that way. And honor Easter and honor Jesus by believing in your freedom. I just think that's awesome. Second one is to believe you're united with Christ. Oh, it's not there. It's there? Oh, it is there. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. So he's saying, first he says, not I, but Christ. And when you get up in the morning and you say, what does it mean to live in union with Christ? It means you take your life and you take your day and you bank it totally on Jesus. You rely on him for the day, you rely on him for the life, and you trade your life. You trade walking things out in your strength, and you trade it for Jesus' life, for the stuff Jesus would do, for thinking like Jesus, for the joy of Jesus, and you make the trade to live with him. And it's relational. It's relational. You live with him relationally, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's relational language. My life for his. You get to live a life of thanks. And in many ways, that's the whole Christian life. A life of thanks with him. I get to live with him a life of thanks. And the other thing I'll just kind of mention is sometimes I think, oh, I want to have Jesus, and so I need to call up to heaven, God, come down and do something in this situation. I'm calling way up to the mountain, come down. But if you believe you're united with him,
then he's in you, and you're in him, and he's right here. And so to live united with him and to walk with him is just, it's just a look. It's just a prayer. It's just a faith. And you don't have to call that far because he's already closer than we can think. And because of that, because he's close, we can live a life of faith. Believe you're united with him. Believe you're forgiven and free. And the last one is to believe you're loved. This Easter, can we open our heart to be loved? Can you open it up to be loved? God's unconditional love is shown at Easter. But there's a battle. There's a battle for every heart and every mind to not revel in the love of God. And that battle comes because of other spiritual forces in the world. Here's a quote. The sin underneath all our sins is to trust the lie of the serpent, that we cannot trust the love and grace of Christ and must take matters into our own hands. You can't trust in God's love. And so the devil tries to strengthen in your life every disappointment from God, every doubt from God, every hurt that has ever been given you, strengthens it so that you would not, every trick in the book, so that you would not trust in love. Even though you will come to church on Easter and see all the great truths of his love, you will battle in your heart. And he says, the Bible says that Jesus, God is love. And we go, nah, I'm going to take this one. I'm not so sure. And the truth is, we are completely unworthy, but fully loved. And we are completely known, which can be scary, but fully loved. And trusting God's grace means trusting God's love for us rather than our love for God. I'll say that again. Trusting God means I trust in God's love for me rather than my love for God. What works good in my life? That God comes and loves me unconditionally and brings good to me? Or does good come in my life because I love God? That's the choice we make for salvation. We're going to trust our own strength, or we're going to trust God who came down. And not only is it for salvation, it's how we live life. We walk in that same way where we trust in the love of God. And I can talk about God's love for a long time, and I actually have a lot more verses that we won't get to. But I want to say this. Part of the reason you know love is big and awesome is because it gives it to someone who doesn't believe to be loved, who doesn't deserve to be loved. That's us, right? God's love is big because it gives it to people who don't deserve to be loved. Another way we know that God's love is big is you can measure, okay, let's measure the love. What was the price paid to love? What was the price paid for God to love you? Well, it was his own son. Another reason I can measure love, I can measure love by how much good is given. The greater the gift, greater the love. What is the gift that you and I have been given? Eternal life. And John 17 says eternal life is knowing Christ and knowing God. So I have been given eternal life, given God. You measure someone's love by the greatness of the gift. You have been given the greatest thing, God.
And eternal life in relationship with Him.
And the last one is love is great. You know love is great when there's desire. When there's big desire. That's another measure of great love. Kat, we skip to Zephaniah. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. You know, I think God comes back with a shout because he's like, yes, I am finally going to be with my bride. And there's big desire. We see the same thing in the prodigal son. Father looks down the road and he runs to his son and he puts a ring on him and he puts a robe on him and he puts shoes on his feet and he says, we're going to have a party. And he hugs him and what you get is desire. You get desire. This Easter, God is totally into saving you. Nobody is twisting God's arm. Romans 3 says you are justified freely by his grace. He's eager. He wants to. He gets to. And his desire. Most beautiful thing in the world is divine love that pays the highest price, the life of his son, to completely undeserving enemies. That's me. To give us the longest and greatest happiness in him, and he loves doing it. That's big love. Honor Jesus. Honor God. Honor the whole Easter story by believing that God loves you, by believing that he's made you free, and by believing that even now, you are with him. Amen? Amen. Okay. Well, I guess we're out of time. Let me pray. Lord, I like that verse that was shared. You are worthy of all honor and grace. You are worthy. We worship you. We worship you. You get all glory. You deserve all glory. We look at you. We remember you. And we thank you for your indescribable gift. In Jesus' name, amen.